Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get ready for family fun that's out of this world at Big Air Trampoline Park inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall. With over 40 attractions included in the admission price, there's something for everyone. From birthday parties to toddler time, and even daily deals like Mega Jump Mondays and Wednesdays, 2-for-1 Tuesdays, and family fun packages on Thursdays and Sundays, Big Air Columbus does it all. Big Air Columbus, where the fun never ends. Visit BigAirUSA.com/Columbus for details.
Jay here for Stretford Paddock, and this is the Academy Review. And as always, joining me is Mr. David Pritt. How are we doing, mate?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. As usual, we're going to be looking at the under-18s and the under-23s. Some big games this weekend. What are you starting with?
The under-18s were away at Wolves, and it was a bit of a big game because we discussed this last time. It was a six-pointer.
Six-pointer.
We were 3 points ahead of them, and they were in third, 3 points behind us, obviously, if we're 3 points ahead of them. And so
that's how it works, you see.
If they won...
Maths.
If they won, they'd have gone level points, and if we won, we'd have gone 6 points clear of them. And, it was an odd game considering... You know, they were only 3 points behind us. We were all over them. I think they were set up just to defend. They had we had majority of the ball most of the time, but we didn't really get into the box much because we just had everyone back. I think the first real effort was a Charlie Welland shot that went over about the 25th minute mark. You know, it was quite... They were good at defending, and I think they were set up to counter-attack, which showed because Lee Harkin for them wins the ball on the halfway line and he's just one-on-one with the keeper. And he should have buried it, really, but he put it wide. And I think that's what they've set up for. If they scored that, I think they'd have defended harder and not to worry about getting a goal. But thankfully, Flores didn't go in. Then Charlie Savage has a volley that goes just wide. You know, he's got a bit good shot on him, to be honest. He should be shooting more because he had another one later on. But then McNeil, he gets the ball in the box. He's a bit of a... bouncing around a bit and he has a shot. He's heading towards the goal, takes a slight deflection and then hits the post and goes out for a corner. But that was it for half time. We were really all over. And apart from that Harkin effort that went wide, which he should have sorted, we just had most of possession. And then second half, we actually get the goal. What won us the game? It was Charlie Williams down the right, passed it into McNeil. I don't really know how he did it. He controlled it with his left, turned, had it on his right, took a touch, and then just blasted it in the goal. And it was a good effort, really. You know, the way he controlled it, and they had a lot of people in the box, and just dispatched it past the keeper and put us 1-0 ahead. And after that, I don't really think Wolves did much. It was still all us. I mean, Iqbal had a shot that was saved. Charlie Savage had a shot that hit the post. And that was it, really. We just went 1-0 up. It was a tougher game than usual because there was a lot of defending by them. But that made it 7 wins in a row for us now, which is unreal. We're now, once again, 3 points ahead in the league with a game in hand. Now it's all good. And we play Leeds on Thursday. I don't know why it's Thursday.
What's that? First team's Thursday as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
well, they're playing Thursday night games.
I think they're playing...
Thankfully, we don't have to worry about that in
it's
Europe.
It's midday-ish, anyway. And if we get anything out of that game, we'll be top by this Christmas break thing because
put Christmas,
yeah, which is great because I don't know how it works. I think it's because of the academy, but the under-23s follow it as well. Where there's a lot of players who are in digs. They come from obviously all over the country, and I think they give them a bit of time off because then they can go back to the families and have spend Christmas with them. That happens every year, but the 23s follow that rule as well.
Oh, fair enough. Going up back to that game, McNeil and Wellens, I hear you talking about these guys quite a lot. Is that sort of, is it a partnership that's working or is it just two players that are playing the same team? Because I know obviously they combined for the goal there. you know, every time we speak, you seem to be mentioning both of them. What's going on with them two? How's it working out for him?
Yeah, like McNeil, he's just a goal scorer.
Machine, and he's the one who's got about 2,427 goals.
Something like that. But he's doing well for us. You know, he's, at the moment, he's probably behind Joe Hugill, which is a bit of a, not a shock, but people probably, when we got them both, would have thought McNeil was the one ahead. But this lad's still young. I think Hugill's just slightly older, and he's playing in the 18s, but now he's moved up to the 23s playing for them. He's like the next game we talk about. He came off the bench for us, but he's been good. And Charlie Wellens, last season, I wouldn't say he was the best on the team. He had a few games where he wasn't great, but I think he's growing more into the setup, and he looks a much better player. He's, like I said, he won the ball and he got it on the right hand side.
Probably what side like of a player is he?
He's for like? Me, he's just. He's like, it's weird how it works now, because obviously you play three in midfield, don't you?
Yeah.
And he's one of them. I know. Remember when he used to have wingers?
4-4-2, eh? 4-4-2.
So he was in the midfield, but he was then drifting to the right. And like I said, he won the ball right on the right hand side and then played it into for McNeil. But yeah, I've been impressed with him so far this season.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask a really stupid question that we can probably cut out if it's completely stupid. Has he got a famous dad?
Yeah. Yeah, he has.
Yeah.
He has.
So it's not that stupid then.
No.
So is he Richie Wellens' son?
Yeah, he's Richie Wellens' son. Okay. And he used to see him at the games a few times, and now he's Salford manager now.
He was, I think he was Richie Wellens, obviously, had a spell at United, didn't he?
I think.
But it wasn't really, I don't think he got in the first team. I might be wrong. Forgive me if you're watching Richie. Was he Oldham, I think? And then Salford.
Is that Salford?
Manager,
now?
Yeah.
But that could be a decent thing, like him being there, because we've got Deshaun Bernard on loan there at the moment, right. At Salford. So him being associated with United, he might be able to get, you know, players who need a bit of like first team football, could go in, you know, League Two football. He can go over there. He might sort it out where we have players on loan.
Well, you remember one of the days of Sir Alex Ferguson, which seems about 500 years ago, when
a long time.
Yeah, when we had when he had his son at Preston or Peterborough, yeah. Wherever. We used to always loan him our players, didn't
yeah.
we? And it was and then he was mates with Tony Pulis and managers like I think David Moyes. He had a few managers he was pally with, one that would loan players too. So it often works out.
Yeah, well. I mean, we talked about this with the old paddock with Joe, was when we used to have Royal Antwerp in Belgium. We used to send players out to there, and I think that was an amazing thing.
I remember when over
there.
There's
loads that went over there.
Adam McCall is shouting off camera as he always does. Chris Eagles. I love Chris Eagles. Eagles at Gunnison.
Oh, Dong Fang Zhu went there.
Dong Fang Zhu, eh? Literally one of the best players we've ever had.
Yeah. But I think we should set up something like that, because it wasn't just sending the player out on loan. I was saying this earlier to you in a video not too long ago.
Yeah.
Was I would have liked to seen like Garner and Levitt go out on loan somewhere together.
Because they've got, right, get this right.
Watford for Garner and Charlton
for Levitt.
But Levitt's not playing at Charlton.
Yeah, I was getting
so
confused.
If you had a team like this Royal Antwerp that we used to have, it'd have been good to send three or four players out, and they can gel in that team. And then when they come back, you know, they're playing together in first team football, and then it's beneficial for like cup games. You know, if you want to play a few players, they already know how to play together in a first team. Yeah. But unfortunately, we haven't got anything like that at the moment, and you know, hoping that something like that will come along, because I'm sure Solskjaer, because he was when he was reserve manager, did they still have Antwerp then?
Yeah, I think they did. So might be wrong, but I think they did.
He was at the club, but as a player, knowing about that, so hopefully he'll try and sort something out where we can do something like that.
It would be good, because you want these players, like you say. I mean, the prime example there is Levitt and Garner. We've seen how they played together at the academy and youth level, and they've obviously got that understanding. It would have been good to see him if they could play together for a League One or League Two or whatever team. But it's not happening. But at least we've got players going out on loan, players as well, proving their worth in the academy side. And the players you keep mentioning, likes of Williams, likes of course, Charlie McNeil. Exciting players that you want to see. And, you know, we all love goal scorers as well. And that's an important six-pointer, as you said there.
I told you it was, and it is. Yeah.
So, under-18's doing all right. What about under-23's?
So we played City the day after we played City for the first team.
I hope this game for the under-23s for City was better.
It was, obviously the first team was... what happened? I don't even know what happened in that
nothing.
Game.
Nothing. Yeah. That's what happened. Nothing.
It was that offside penalty thing that never happened. I think that was
it wasn't even one of those as well where you're looking at it going, oh, is it? You just knew straight away that was not... it was offside, sorry.
We played Sunday at home at Lee, and the weather was... It was chucking it down, absolutely chucking it down. Yeah. I would like to have been there, but in the same way, I would have been like, oh, actually, it looks freezing.
Yeah,
but
I know them ones.
But the big news was Brandon Williams was playing. He has actually asked to play in the under-23s. He wanted game time, which I love that.
That's good, mate.
Yeah, because he is a first-team player.
To be fair, my predicted 11 for the City first-team game, I had him down because I thought, and I'll keep saying this, I thought he was fantastic when he came on against RB Leipzig. I did.
I thought so as well. But I think he asked, was he going to be playing in the derby in the first team? And he told him no. So he asked, could he play in the 23s games? And yeah, like I say, I love that. I love the fact that these kids want to play football. It's not about, oh, well, I'm on the bench for the first team. It's like, well, no, I'm playing 90 minutes.
Mason's got a bit of that in him, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's in the past, he's, before he was established in the first team, he was part of the travelling squad where you just to back up him, someone gets injured. Yeah. And he refused that and rather played under-17s friendly instead, which I think, once again, it's great.
It's mad, isn't it? You can imagine his dad like, are you going to be in the travelling squad for the United First Team? No, I'm not. I'm playing for the under-17s. What? Yeah. But fair enough to him. And obviously, Brandon Williams from North Manchester, from Moston, isn't he, or somewhere like that?
Harper Hay.
Sorry, get that right. I'll get in trouble. Yeah, he's from North Manchester. So you can imagine, derby game, he'd be well up for it.
Yeah, and it was great to see. I've not seen it in a while. Brandon Williams left back, even led right back, and
mate,
it's just
that's the future.
When I saw it, it's great that,
because we spoke about this last time we were on together, weren't we, about Ethan Laird. Both love Ethan Laird, but just had a bit of a time of it with injuries, hasn't he?
Yeah, they were saying that he was only supposed to play 60 to 70 minutes in this game, but he ended up playing the full 90, and that was great to see, because he's still coming back from injury. He's not going to be fully fit, but the fact he played 90 minutes when he wasn't supposed to, I thought it was great. But this game, it didn't start off great at all. City were all over us. I mean, really all over us. And then they got the first goal, low cross in, and it was just first time put in past Woolston. I don't know if it was bad defending. It was a well worked goal.
It's lucky. I didn't see it, but I know it was lucky.
And you just thought after that was it.
Like your optimism day, 1-0 down, forget it, we may as well go home.
Honestly, they were all over us, and you didn't think anything was going to happen. And then the ball's played, I think it might have been Ethan Laird, plays it into the box, doesn't go anywhere. The defender picks it up, and Hannibal, just quick on his toes, just jumps in front of him and gets a touch on the ball as the defender's kicking it to clear it, and just takes Hannibal out, wins a penalty out, nothing really.
Well done, lad.
Yeah, he did well. I'll talk to him a bit about him later.
Teasing us there.
And then Ethan Galbraith, or Paul Scholes, I don't know what you want to call him.
A wise man once said, he's better than Paul Scholes in every single way.
He didn't really. Put the ball on the spot, and the keeper went the right way, but he was just so hard and low in the corner that he was never going to get it. It was a great penalty, and it's very much like I said, he's got a great shot on him, and he's just proved it with that penalty. And then we looked all right after that. It's just the confidence
that
went
seemed
up.
Change the sort of complexity of the game.
And then we got
the game even.
Then we got another decision going our way where the City defender, he has a heavy touch, and Galbraith wins it. But as he's trying to slide in for the ball, the guy goes right to the back of Galbraith. It looked a nasty one, really. He was down for a little bit. Straight red when he got back up. The ref, he just stood up against the back of his heel, and I don't think he meant to foul him, but it was just a bit reckless. And yeah, you do see him red cards like that, because in this division you don't automatically see yellow cards. I mean, the yellow cards, he showed a red, but there was fouls earlier that should have been yellow.
That happens though, doesn't it? If a referee don't get a grip of a game and challenges are flying in, I know it's a derby, but you know, if you don't give it a yellow, the challenges just build and build and build.
I just think that these refs give the players a bit of leeway because these 16, 17 year olds playing, you know, if he gives them yellow, they've got to pay the fine, you know, and they think, just don't do it again. And cool. We just thought then after that we looked good again. We were looking good. They were down to 10 men. You thought this is going to be us. And then Laird brilliantly gets the ball, just like drop of the shoulder in the box, plays it to Palestri, who puts it in for 2-1.
I saw this one, yeah.
Yeah, and we're 2-1 up at half time. And so up till half time, we were the better team, and we had probably another chance where we should have scored, but it was 2-1 at half time. second half was coming up and you just thought, that's us now. They're 10 men. We're playing great. We're 2-1 up. But that was just not what happened. Second half comes out and you'd have to count the players. I was like, yeah, sure, these 10. Only 10. Honestly, they were all over us again, second half. You would not have known. It looked like we were down to 10 men rather than them. The fair play to City. They played brilliantly. And you know,
have they got Pep's doctor at the changing room, allegedly?
No, I mean, Will Fish, he had a last-ditch challenge, which was honestly time to perfection. They were one-on-one, and he just, honestly, brilliant tackle. Just the kind of defending I like to see. You know, and he's like 17 playing in this under-23s team. He's a tall lad. I wouldn't say he's well-built yet, but the fact he's 17 doing things like this, I think when him and... He didn't play with Mengi, but when him and Mengi together, I think they could be something solid together. They're a bit... They're different type of defenders, but Mengi's more put your foot through it, head it away, where Fish likes to tackle. And, yeah, I thought he did brilliantly because, you know, even though we went back to 2-2, which I'll talk about now, they get a corner. Brandon Williams marking the guy, he's on the wrong side of him. He just puts it in with his foot, like half volley kind of thing for 2-2. But after that, it was once again all City, and I thought Will Fish kept it at 2-2 at times. He did really well. But there was one chance we had. Palestri passed it to Alanga. He blasted it over, which was gutting, really. You know, it was a good chance. But they had another chance as well, which was mental, where the guy picks it up on the halfway line, goes like 2 or 3 feet, looks up and sees that Wilson's off his line and just dinks it over. Luckily for us, Wilson's like all over the place, don't know what's going on, hits the post and comes out. I mean, I felt sorry for the lad in a way, that because he was a great effort, and he, you know, if he went in, you'd fair play to him, but thankfully for us, it didn't go in. But they had a free kick as well, where Wilson made up for that, had a double save, really good double save. And then we had a last chance, like a free kick, Pujmel puts it in, and Alanga gets a header and just puts it over, and that would have been, you know, a nice way to finish it. But unfortunately, it was 2-2. I mean, really entertaining game, much better than the game previous, you know, the day before with the first team
game, but, yeah, which was dross.
But in a way, they were good. Like I say, before we got the penalty, they were all over us. Second half, even though they were down to 10 men, they were more or less all over us. And we kept it at 2-2, kept a draw, and makes us, they're top of the league, but we're only 3 points behind them with a game in hand. So, it's not too bad.
There's a couple of things I want to pick up on there. Talk about Ethan Laird getting forward. I know it's different levels, but, you know, the one criticism of Aaron Wan-Bissaka for the first team is going forward, he's not that great. Ethan Laird, we've always spoken about him as being a future first teamer. I know, obviously, he's got Wan-Bissaka in front of him, but maybe, you know, being back up to him or whatever. Do you think that he could maybe one day do that sort of job for United?
Yeah, I do first think, team, obviously. If you watch this performance, you probably say no, because he's not fully fit yet.
Yeah.
You know, you're watching him, he did well, but he's not like sprinting up and down constantly like he did when he's fully fit. But for me, he's the future for us. I mean, like I said at the start, this Williams and Laird together, you just obviously.
Well, this is it. It seems like, I mean, you look at it and you go, Williams has probably got an easier path to the left back spot because there's question marks around Luke Shaw. I know Alex Tellers has come in, but again, you know, it's not nailed on that he's coming as a first choice for the next 5 or 6 years or whatever. Whereas Wan-Bissaka, you think, would be the right back for United for at least, you know, the next sort of 4 or 5 years. But these lads can perform at that level. We know we've all gone to Solskjaer. It'll give you a chance. And as I said to you, it's weird because at United, in the first team, we've got Alex Tellers, who's great going forward. Defensively, he's a bit suspect. Luke Shaw's had question marks, although he did have a better game against City this weekend, to be fair to him. And Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who's great defensively, but going forward. So it's almost like if you've got some fullbacks who come through who can do everything, like, you know, we know what Brandon Williams and Ethan Laird can do at younger level, then who knows?
But for me, like, you know my view on Shaw, but you need backups.
We'd have to extend this video if we got Dave on Luke Shaw.
You need backups.
Of course you do.
And if something happens to Wan-Bissaka, who are we playing at the moment right back, really?
Well, it'd have to be...
He'd probably play Brandon Williams.
Because he's right-footed, obviously, Probably would, actually.
But if you got Laird and Williams there, you've got options for both. Like I say, it'd be great to see these two lads, maybe if they're not, maybe not Williams, is his first team set up now, but like Laird with a few others, do a loan to a club. I really think that we should be setting up a like I say, in a Royal Antwerp type of thing where we can send three or four players out.
It's weird because...
And it's, go what's good, because when you go away as well, you've got your mates with you.
Yeah,
you know,
so you're not just there alone. Yeah. But it's like you mentioned it about having backup and having been able to rotate and having options. When we talk about the great United sides, we always talk about the strikers and Sheringham and Solskjaer with subs to Colin York and things like that. And, you know, we used to have Tevez and Rooney and Ronaldo and you know, sometimes you rotate or whatever. But even defensively, the great United sides have always had great backup options. Mm. You know, when Patrice Evra sat, we had Gabriel Heinze in the left back.
Yeah.
You know, when sort of 2007, 2008... Gary Neville, just before then, gets injured. Wes Brown comes in at right back and has the season of all seasons, including setting up the goal in the Champions League final. So you want players that can compete. You want players that can push the ones in front of them and force their way into the team where necessary. And hopefully, in the future, we'll see those lads doing that, because from what I've seen them at a lower, younger level, they've been great. I wanted to ask you about Facundo Palestra, because I think it's... three goals in six games.
I think it's 3-3 now.
3-3. Sorry, yeah, 3-3. Sorry, more recent and in total, I think it might be 3-6. But also an assist as well in that. He's obviously doing really well. A lot of people getting excited because he's a new signing. He's come in and he's. I know it's different sort of levels, but he's shown that he's not sort of, you know, doesn't feel like a fish out of water here in Manchester, and he's settling down well. There's even some rumours that maybe he'll get a bit of a chance in one of the cup games. I think we've got, is it Watford in the FA Cup, whatever it is?
Yeah,
and then we've got Everton in the quarterfinals of the
League Cup,
the Little Woods Trophy, the Carabao, whatever it is nowadays. how far do you think he is off getting involved in the first team?
It's hard to say, because, like I say, he is a new signing and he does look good. And what's been great about him, usually, you know, you get these foreign signings and it takes him a little while to settle in. Yeah. I don't think like someone like Hanwell Medjugorje, it took him a little while to settle in before he went on to, well, he's looking good. I'd give him a little bit more time, really, because you don't want him to be thrown into this game if it all goes wrong. You know,
I mean, he's 18, isn't he? Yeah, I think, Palestra, and he's not, but when he was signed, I think the idea was he wasn't signed, even though he was here now, to go into the first team. It was like, we got him now because he could get him. And then
And same with Fernando, the right back.
Yeah.
It's just the same thing with him, because we are thinking for the future at the moment, which I love that. And I think we are, Solskjaer set it up perfectly, and I don't know if he's spoke to Nicky Butt or, you know, anyone about this. The fact that our teams are so young, you know, we're literally out with the old and we're in with the new, getting these young players playing. Like I mentioned before, Will Fish playing for the 23s, 17. You've got Shola Shortire, 16. You know, you don't really see this. These players should be playing for the 18s, but they've gone up another level. And you look at the 18s, there's a lot of youngsters in that. So I think it's a great thing, because it gives them time then, more experience. If you're 16 and 17 in the 23s, you maybe have a couple of years in the 23s where, if you're 20, 21, you're thinking, hey, well, I've not made it yet, I'm going to move on. So... yeah, I think it's all good, but I would give Palestra maybe a little bit more time. Maybe put him on the bench. I wouldn't start him, but possibly.
Type of a player is he, Dave? Because you watched him a little bit, and
he's very attacking. He's, you know, he does like having the ball. He's got a decent shot. I wouldn't say he's a long range effort. He's just in the right place, right time.
Yeah.
When he receives the ball, it's the same thing. You know, he's a very talented footballer. But yeah, I have high hopes for him.
You mentioned earlier there you wanted to touch upon Hannibal.
Yeah, once again, there was an incident where there's a bit of a tangle and the guy kind of kicked out at him, and he went down. He could, because there was no fans, he could just hear his big scream, and he's rolling around on the floor. And I don't like to see it, because he only just come back from suspension because he got a red card against West Ham, where it was the other way around. He entangled up and then he kicked out.
Right, okay.
And then he's like, oh, I've done nothing wrong. You know, blah, blah, blah. But... the guy, I don't think he touched him, and he's screaming, rolling around the floor. And I just don't like seeing that. He's such a talented player. He doesn't need that in his game. You know, there is things where he does, where he is a wind-up merchant. And I like that. But there's other things. You don't need to cheat at the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, the sooner that's knocked out of his game, I think he'll be a better player for it.
You think that's something that you do need to do with these youngsters? Because sometimes, I'm not going to lie, I can lack a bit of that. But it can undermine them all.
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example. Someone who I used to hate as a player, you know, this was in, you know, the first team, but this was for Chelsea. There was Didier Drogba. I used to couldn't stand him, because he did cheat a lot. He used to, you know, dart, he'd roll around. And then one season, he just cut all that out, and he just became one of the best strikers in the league because of it. And and for that example, you gave it him young and say, listen, you don't do that now. You're just going to be a better player for it. So you're not relying on
And players, especially that age, isn't it? Cause like you nip it in there, like you say, early doors before they get into the first team and start carrying it on there. Especially with VAR and stuff nowadays, you're asking for trouble unless your name's Mo Salah or Sadio Mane, in which case you just get loads of penalties and free kicks all the time that you go down like you've been shot by a sniper. Dave, great listening to you. Not the in terms of the under 23s wasn't the best result, was it?
But it was a decent game. After the fact that we kept it, got a point out of that game for me was,
especially after the start where it looked like
even the second half, I think it was good. What pick up as well? A lot of people have been asking about loan updates.
Yes, sorry, well remembered, because we've had a few comments, people asking about, are we going to give updates on some of our
I'm sorry, but this week I've not been able to.
You've not done your own work.
Basically, yes.
Well, to be fair, you weren't asked. But yeah, it was. That shouldn't excuse you. You should do it anyway.
But so next week I'll do a bit of research.
I like that you said wheel. You'll do the research, and I'll just sit here and introduce you. That's how we work. That's what the viewers like. You see, you know, I'm clueless, so we'll just let someone who knows what they're talking about talk about.
We talked about Deshaun Bernard on loan at Salford because of Richie Williams.
Yes.
So there's your loan update.
Knowledge. Thank you. So we'll go in a bit more in depth next week about some of our loan stars. We've got a few out on loan, haven't we? We mentioned Levitt and Garner and who else was on? I forgot already. Oh, yeah.
Deshaun Bernard. Traore. Kovar. There's a few.
There's loads to get through there.
But like I was saying to you, this winter break's coming up after next week. So next week will be the last one where we give updates on how the 18s and 23s are doing.
Because they've got a loan for Christmas, because, you know, they're only kids. They'll be there in bed early for Christmas Eve.
The mince pies,
yeah. Leave the carrot out for Rudolph. Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at David J. Pritz, 2 T's, and on Instagram at David Pritz, without the J.
You've been doing a lot of Instagram, haven't you?
Yeah, just bored, aren't I? I'm sat at home doing nothing, so it's like...
Been singing Lionel Richie songs with me.
Keep that quiet.
Yeah, we'll keep that quiet. Don't forget to set Dave out then on all his socials as well, and also keep watching the channel. We've got loads of good stuff coming up. The first team are in action. We've got Sheffield United on Thursday, so we'll have all the preview for that. We'll have the watch-along. We'll have the post-match reaction as well. And then this weekend, we've got Dirty Leeds, so we'll be looking at that, and we'll have all the watch along and everything else for that as well.
The 18s is against Leeds as well.
18 against Leeds. That's a baptism for him. I tell you what, playing Leeds at any level is it's probably a good job there's no crowds there, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? That's another story anyway. So make sure you check out all that. If you're not subscribing, subscribe. And if you've not checked out what we've got on offer for the members, do have a look at that. We're doing the 12 days of Paddock, where we've got loads of offers on, including T-shirts and stuff, and also the chance to win a PlayStation 5. So that's been Dave. I've been Jay. This has been Stretford Paddock Academy Review. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.